Let's continue with what we began last week in our ascended place in Christ. I believe, church, than ever before, that as the body of Christ, we must know our place in Christ. There are so many places in the epistles of Paul that he talks about the church, and it uses the word like in him, through him, in whom. This is our place in Christ, that we have to know who we are in Christ. Not where you came from, not in your own ability, but who we are in Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. But thank God we are in him. Therefore, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Without him, I can do nothing. But thank God I'm not without him. So then, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He's my strength. He's my strength. I literally know that. I have experiential knowledge of this saying, God is my strength. I know myself without him. I know myself in him, and I'm learning more about being in him. I can truly say the Lord is my strength. I don't know if that is your testimony, but I can testify that. I've seen him over and over again, him strengthening me in my life. In difficult situations, he became my strength. Praise God. And you can tell I wasn't born yesterday. If you're born the beginning of 70s, you're at least called a mature person. So I wasn't born yesterday. It's amazing. I'm getting to go to many places. When you are growing up, when I was even in high school and primary school, mostly I think, if not all, especially, I remember primary school and secondary school also. In my class, almost all of them were older than I. And I used to look forward to growing older. And I still do the same too. I turned 51, I'm looking forward to turning 71. When I turn 71, I'm looking forward to turning 81. When I come to 81, I'm looking forward to 91. When I turn 91, I'm looking forward to being in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, 15, 23, we looked at it last week, so I'm not going to, we're not going to go into it. But let's go there to verse, it's talking about that we may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him by having the eyes of understanding being enlightened. In verse 18, and then that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And look at verse 19. And what is exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Say exceeding greatness of God's power toward me who believe. And then he says this, according to the working of his mighty power. What is that mighty power? That verse 20 says, that going further says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And what is that in the heavenly places? Right hand in the heavenly places. And then he goes on to say this, far above. Say far above. Far above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only this age, but also that it used to come. Far above. And go to Ephesians 2:6. I want to read it from the Amplified version. Ephesians 2:6. So there we see in 20 that this power raised up Jesus and to being seated in the heavenly places far above all rule, all principality, all power, all dominion, every name that is named not only in this age but also that which is to come, far above. And look at this then. But the beauty of it is all is this. He did not just raise him up. He raised us up together. Let me try this other side. Way quiet. You've been shouting. Let me see if we can shout in this one. And he raised us up together with him. Not only did he raise us up, did he raise him up, but he raised us up together with him and made us sit together, giving us what? Joint sitting with him. Sure. Joint sitting with him in the heavenly sphere. What is that? By virtue of our being in Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Are you seeing again? By virtue of our being in Christ. So I need to understand who I am in Christ. Because it's in Christ that I've been raised up together with him. I made me sit together with him. I like saying this. The kingdom of God, everything about the kingdom of God is up. Up. Not low, bent down, bent over, is up. The kingdom of God is up. The kingdom of God is up. And then the Ephesians 2:6, the Passion Translation says, he raised us up with Christ, the exalted one. Do you see when you walk with the Lord, what follows is what? Exaltation, exaltation, exaltation. Listen this. You walk with the Lord this year, there are promotions ahead of you. So much more. So much more. It says, he exalted. He raised us up with the exalted one, and we ascended with him, look at this church, into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. I like that part, authority of the heavenly realm. I operate in the authority of the heavenly realm. I speak in the authority of the heavenly realm. Doors open for me by the authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. All right? So with this ascension, there is authority. In this ascension, it's a place of authority. High place. Have you noticed when you go to a building and the CEO of that building stays at the top? Have you noticed that? Was it last Sunday I was telling you, I has to go so much in Nyaya House, I think in the 90s and early 2000. I'll do some things, renewal of work permits for Pastors Wade and Carl and all that. And I didn't bother using the washrooms on first, second floor. They're always, stinking. You understand? Crowded places, stinking. Taps not working. Until you go up to like, story number 7, whatever you call it, floor 7. And then you start going up 8. And when you go to some other higher, you are asked, what are you doing here? You understand? What are you doing here? When you go to some places, you have to be asked. And then you go higher, you realize, goodness, the air here is even fresh. There's red carpet. The washrooms are so clean as if it's now in a good hotel. Did you hear I said a good hotel? It's not every hotel that is clean. And that is the place. Look at this. Sometimes we are so much crowded living down here. While we are supposed to be sowing like eagles. Have you noticed it's only chicken that are crowded down here? Eagles, you don't see them crowding up there. They keep sowing. Sow like an eagle. Listen this. God has given us a place and has called us into that high place in him. Hallelujah. No wonder the psalmist would say this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're hidden in him. Church is the place of authority. And therefore we must learn to take our place in him, in this ascending place by faith, and exercise our authority over all the works of Satan. Listen, we cannot deal with the enemy in this law area. We find that in Ephesians chapter 2, we have to know our place in Christ so that we speak from that place of authority. That's where we wage our warfare. That's where we speak the word of God from. That's where we pray from. Place of authority. What takes us there? Taking our place in Christ. What takes us there? Accepting what he has done for us. That is actually humility. Humility is accepting what he has done for you and operating by it or in it. That's humility. And look at this. Let's go to Isaiah 57 verse 15. As the New King James Version, I like it. Hallelujah. The Mwiki Community School, do you know how to say hallelujah? Okay, let me hear you say. Oh, you don't know? Okay. I think I'll teach them. Do you know how to say hallelujah? Let me hear you say. Okay, all right. Don't say that in class tomorrow. But look at this then. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. You see where God dwells? Did you see where he dwells? I dwell in the high and holy place with him. Look at God's companion. Look at God's friends in that place. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Humility brings us to that place. Let me show you true biblical humility. Of course, we humble ourselves, we say that. But let me show you true biblical humility. God says, he has raised me up together with Christ. I accept that. That's humility. I accept, God, you've done this for me. I was not worthy. I'm not worthy without you. But because you've done and you've made me worthy, I accept it. What does that do to you? You are raised up in that place of what? Holy. He says, high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is well, I dwell in the high and holy place. Did you get that? Did you get that? So we'll be seeing that. That's humility. I've heard believers pray, oh God, I'm not worthy. I'm dirty. I'm filthy. I'm not worthy to come to you. I'm not, in fact, in this saying, Kiswahili is usually so good. Oh, sifai machoni mwako. Sifai kabisa mimi mchafu. Kama ningekuwa Mungu na mimi si Mungu, ningesema hivi, wafanya nini hapa mchafu? What are you doing here? You understand? But listen, the right way of praying will be this. Lord, I'm not worthy. But thank you, Father, for in Christ you have made me worthy. Your blood was shed for my sins. I humble myself. I ask you to forgive of my sins. I confess my sins. I repent of my sins. And I can come to you, Father, because you've said, if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Father, now I come. You see, that's humility. Father, now I come. To come to where? To that high and holy place. Would you please say amen? Amen. To that high and holy place. All this, church, we're talking about is the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. In Psalm 103 verse 19, I like the song that we sang, the Lord reigns. Doom, 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 doom. The Lord, the Lord reigns. Now look at this about the reigning of God. It says this, the Lord has made the heavens his throne. Where is that? High and I used to take them back there, please. It seems like they just forgot so quickly. Take them to Isaiah 54. Sorry, Isaiah 57, sorry. He says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the whole one says, I live in the high and holy place. Okay, you see that? So he inhabits eternity, and where does he dwell? In high and holy place. All right? Okay. Let's go back then to this Psalm 103. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. Where is that? Oh, now I think I'm going to give you gifts. You're getting it so good. So where is that place? The high and holy place. That's where he dwells. And look at this. And his kingdom rules over all. Remember I told you that place of what? Thank you, brother. You need some water. That's a place of authority. I told you, that's a place of authority. So look at this. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. So we are talking about a place of authority. The kingdom of this world, one day all of them will become the kingdom of the Lord our God. He's taking over very soon. But before then, I'll show you how we dominate and occupy. It's a place of authority. So the Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there, he rules over everything. Now, listen to the New Living Translation. Let's go to New Living Translation. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. Where is that place? High and holy place. He does not. From there. And who is he dwelling with in that place? The redeemed one who are what? Of contrite spirit. A humble people that have accepted what their Lord has done for them. He dwells there with such. And then he says this, from there, he rules over everything. And he's called us to that place, that from that place of authority, we may rule with him. Not when we get to heaven. I'm talking about now. Because that's another thing about believers. You know, I'll be poor here, that's okay. But when I get to heaven, I will be in the streets of God. I will be on the streets of God. And now, I am poor, I am poor, I am poor. Because Jesus said, let poor. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not the kingdom of God. Let me show you concerning what changes things. In Matthew chapter 13, there's something that Matthew puts so good and so clear there. Let's start reading verse 9, please. Matthew 13, 9. Let's read. Let's read it together. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's say it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So what do you say? I have ears to hear, I hear. Did you see that? Let's say, read it again. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So what do you say? I have ears to hear, I hear. I hear. And look at verse 11. When the disciples ask him, why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11, he said this. He answered them and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of what? The kingdom of heaven. It's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, part of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, it has been given to you to know how to rule from heaven, though you are living on earth. Did you see what that says? It's been given to you the ability to know, though you are living here on earth, that you can take your position in that ascended place and rule with the king. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Say, it has been given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Because it's given, I take it. I have it. It's mine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. Blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. What do your eyes see? They see the kingdom. What do your ears hear? They hear the kingdom. So say, blessed are my eyes, for they see. They see the kingdom. My ears hear the kingdom. Because it has been given to me to know the secrets, hidden truths, mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's you. You know, when you accept it, now that's humility. When you say, I'm not worthy, that's pride and ignorance. But it's no longer ignorance because you know. All right? Are you still here or you left? All right. Now, listen to verse 18. This is where I was heading. Remember, I'm talking about now the kingdom of God. Like that song again you sang, the Lord reigns. That's exactly the same. That's exactly the truth. From that high and holy place. Look at this then. Then, remember, he had spoken to them the parable of the sower, and he spoke about the sower sows the word. But listen to this, what he explains in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower, and he says this. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Why will the wicked one steal the word that has been sown? Because the hearer did not understand it. Say, understanding is important. That's again why Apostle Paul says in that Ephesians chapter 1 that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So you know, in college, in school, at home, wherever it is, if you have not understood something, you will not execute it effectively. If you've not understood the memo, girl, you are in big problems with the government. So you have to do what? You have to understand. Students, if you don't understand what has been taught by the teacher, you will not pass. Say, so put your hand on your head today. Say, Lord, Lord, in the name of Jesus, open my understanding. You came to receive understanding here today. You go back to school with understanding. You see what I'm saying? So he says, you hear the word of the kingdom, but does not understand it. You hear of high and holy place, but you don't understand. You hear the new creation, but you don't understand. But when you understand it, the latter part, let's go to 23, verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word of what? The word of what? The kingdom. Is the one who hears the word of the kingdom and does what? Understands it. So understanding is key in operating in the kingdom of God. It's key. It is he who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So understanding is key here. What is the word of the kingdom? God's word is the word of the kingdom. I like it in Ecclesiastes, who says, where the word of the king is, there is what? Power. How does the king rule? He decrees things. Will you go please to Proverbs chapter 8? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In Proverbs 8, look at verse 14. Counsel is mine. This is wisdom. Sound wisdom, I am what? Understanding, I have strength. If you check it out clearly, you check it out well, he's talking about Jesus. And who's Jesus? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he is God. So he's talking about the Word. He's the Word there. He says, counsel is mine. That's the Word of the kingdom. And sound wisdom, I am understanding, I have strength. If you want to understand the Word of God, you have to go to the Bible. Without the Word of God, you don't have understanding. And look at this. And what follows next in verse 15, please. By me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. So God says this. This is, remember, he's a king. How does he rule? By that word, by wisdom. And he decrees, and rulers decree justice. Verse 16, by me princes rule, who steal Jesus, nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Let me see if I can excite you with verse 18. riches and honor with me. Now that excites you. My goodness. You are thrilled now. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Again, I was reading this past week of Abraham, and in chapter 24, he says of Genesis that God had blessed Abraham in all things. What do you lack in all? You lack nothing in all. God had blessed Abraham in all things. So listen to this. So the word of God is the word of the kingdom. When you hear the word of God, and he says there's not understanding, then the wicked one comes and snatches away from what was sown in his heart. So let me submit this to you then. It means then the devil does not steal the word from anyone. He steals from the ones who do not understand. He can only steal from the one who does not understand. Let me read a scripture in Psalm 49 verse 20. I saw that, I think, in the 90s, end of 90s, and it just blessed me. Listen to this. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beast that perish. I thought you were going to say, ouch. A man who is in honor yet does not understand. So listen to this. You can be like what Christ has done for us as the church. To the world, they don't know because they have to receive Christ first. And to the church, we can be born again. But if we do not know that God has raised up to that place of honor, though we are supposed to live in an honorable life and ruling life, if we don't understand that, we will be like the beast that perish. I thought you were going to say, ouch. I believe that the time we are in, God is restoring the dignity, power, and honor. Let me say it again. I believe that the time we are in, God is restoring the dignity, honor, power, and glory of the church. I will say it with faith. I believe that the time we are in, God is restoring the honor, the dignity, power, and glory of the church. Because of how his kingdom functions, the latter glory of the church will be nothing, than that has ever been seen in the world. Is that clear? It's nothing like what has ever been seen in the world. It's going to be more. There'll be more glory. There'll be more dignity. There'll be more honor. There'll be more power in the church. For a long time, the church has been thought of being weak. And you know, majorly is what? Lack of understanding. Lack of revelation concerning the functioning of the kingdom. Until it's thought like one is escaping by going to church. You know, I was asked years ago by a certain woman in my village. I gave my life to Christ in 1996. And then I went to the shop of this woman. In the standard of my village, they were wealthy because they had a shop bigger than a kiosk. So they were wealthy to the standard of my village. So she asked me, "So what are you doing now?" I said, "I'm born again now and I'm preaching." "Why are you preaching now?" "People retire, then they preach." There are times even we used to be like, one is born again, then they look for a job. If they don't find any, they start preaching. Remember that, Miss Ruth? Really? In the 90s. That you find that what is it? "I'm preaching." "What is it? I haven't gotten any job." Listen, church. That's wrong. I could have been doing something else, but God called me. He called me when I was 23. I didn't know about anything about preaching. I wasn't born in church. I wasn't raised up in church. But I'm so thankful that I obeyed him. Listen, God is restoring honor, dignity, power, glory in the church. Let's go to, and it's going to be better than anything that has ever been seen. In Ephesians 4:13, sorry, in Acts 4:13.
It
seems like January is beginning now. Have you noticed? But I don't want it to begin. I want the session we have been, the place we have been. Those from the West, they can send us a bit of cold, not too much. I was talking to Pastor Maxwell. He told me, he showed me photos. I've ever gone to him. Pastor Max is a friend of mine. He lives in Germany. I've been to him in some place. Then he showed me, and it was all snow. And he told me that if I could have managed to do this, I could have shipped a container of snow over to you. I said, keep it there. I don't want it. We are okay here. In fact, this being the best January, it's not being hot as it should, and I'm believing God in February, there'll be clouds. Those who will enjoy the sun, it will shine in your compound only. As we enjoy the clouds, we'll enjoy the clouds. All right. So in Acts chapter 4, what has triggered Acts chapter 4? God is restoring dignity, honor, power, glory to the church than anything that has ever been seen on the face of the earth. Okay, that's what triggered this scripture. Now look at this. In Acts chapter 4, it talks now when they saw, remember there's a man who had been healed in the gate called the Beautiful. He had been lame from his birth, and then he got healed by the power of God through Peter and John. And then they were taken before the leaders, the Pharisees and all those leaders in the synagogue, asking them, why, how did you do this? Anyway, being reprimanded for that cause. But then the Bible says this in verse 13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. So the untrained, the uneducated, both trained and educated, if you can only walk with Jesus, people will see the boldness upon you. Do you see that? Can you have it from the Amplified, please, Classic? Let's see what it says there. Now, when the men of the Sanhedrin, Jewish High Court, saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John, and grasped the fact that they were uneducated and untrained, they are what? Ordinary men. They were astounded and began to recognize that they had been with Jesus. God has had mercy on some of us. They are uneducated and they are untrained. Oh, I'm the only one? Oh, you all are educated and trained, yeah? God has had mercy on me. They are uneducated and trained. And I'm trained. You all are educated, yeah? All right, my learned friends, God has had mercy on me, the uneducated, and I'm trained. Look at Acts chapter 5, 11 to 15, the New King James Version. Hallelujah. So, when is this great fear coming upon them? When Ananias and Sapphira lied and they died. They died on the spot. And I want you to see something here. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who had these things. I believe this, and I taught in the beginning of last year, God is restoring the fear of the Lord in the church. I know we call it reverential fear of God, but God is awesome. When you come into his presence, you'll be hit by his awe. I believe this is going to be restored to the church. Because sometimes believers even act as if there's no God. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they corrupt, as if there's no God. Listen to this. This has been restored right here, the fear of the Lord. Now look at this, what follows next. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. That's what? Power. That's power. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. What is that? Unity. Are you seeing some of those things that are going to happen? Power, unity. And look what follows. So there's the fear of the Lord, power, unity. Sometimes we are so divided as the church. So much divided. Where you come from? I come from the Pentecostal of English Western culture school, church. And you, I come from Karumaindo Pentecostal Revival Center International. What about you? We come for international kiosk of the church of all the nations and tribes. Have you wondered some of those, where those names come from? I think there's a place we pass near my village. We see a church called what? The Church of Melchizedek. What? You remember that? But you remember the one we are talking about? It's put on a baobab tree. The Church of Melchizedek, I don't know, high priest of the... I said, what? Melchizedek of the high priest? I don't know what that is. Sometimes we are so divided as the church as if we don't know left from right. But thank God, because no man is the head of the church except Jesus. He's fixing things. Hallelujah. He's restoring things because he's the head. Hallelujah. Now look at this then. Yet none of the rest there joined them, but the people esteemed them highly. What is that? Honor. Honor. So I've never been ashamed. From the time I gave my life to Christ, I know where I come from. I've never been ashamed to say, especially in a, so what do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh, you are? Yeah, I'm a pastor. Go to places and you meet with different people. Say, so what do you do? I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I preach the word. Oh, really? Where do you do that? I take honor in what God has called me to do. So yet none of the rest there joined them, but the people esteemed them what? They esteemed them what? Highly. I'm going to give you that word, esteem. I will not even try to pronounce it in Greek. But to esteem is to make great. To make great. That's what I'm saying. God is restoring things. To make great. To esteem is to enlarge. Enlarge. To magnify. To magnify is to increase, is to make conspicuous. To increase, to make conspicuous, is to extol. You know that word? To extol. And listen to the another one, is to show respect. I'm believing God for the restoration of respect of the church. Respect of the office. The fivefold ministers. Respect. I'm so glad I learned some things early when the Lord started speaking to me. They were so difficult. But I remember one of the things he started telling me as a minister of the gospel, I don't want you to borrow money from people that have saved me. Because you've never had a phone call, me calling you and say, hello? Mchungaji hapa napiga simu. Thank God. He redeemed me. I'm so glad. If we can't speak to a person, that's all. I had a certain man of God say years ago as I was learning that. He said, son, let me tell you something. You cannot say that you are trusting. He was asked in this man. Let me put in this man. Let me ask you, son. Can you have one ear, one eye looking to heaven and another one looking on earth? Can you try that? He said, I can't, Lord. So listen to me, son. If you are believing me, both your eyes will be looking into heaven. You cannot say you are believing me while one eye is looking on earth. Hallelujah. So he's restoring what? Respect of men of God. Of the church. Listen to another word of this, to hold in high esteem. That is also, of course, you know the way sometimes dictionary gives definition. To hold in high esteem, to show respect. That if one hears, this is a pastor. Okay, wow, he's a pastor. And listen to this, has nothing to do with what they drive or they don't drive. That's another problem of the church. He's a powerful pastor. What does he drive? A big vehicle. What has that to do with God? Have you ever heard anyone say, Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and a big vehicle? That's what we're going to do, error. He's a powerful man of God. What does he have? A big vehicle. What has that to do with anything? That means he's prosperous. Check the banks. And to know that the creditors are on over their heels. Many people. You aren't quiet. I thought you were going to say hallelujah. God is restoring what? Dignity. He's restoring what? Honor. He's restoring what? I can't hear you. Glory, dignity, power. Honor. Listen to this. When Ananias and Sapphira were judged, many shrank from associating with the apostles and their services. Despite all this, the public looked at the new Christian worshippers favorably. That's another word, actually. Favorably. That the church will be looked at favorably. That the presidents in the nation ought to say, the church has spoken. It's done. Now you're forgetting that you're a member of the body of Christ. Are you born again? You're a member of the body of Christ. What does that mean? In your office, she has spoken. She has spoken. Let's stop this because she has spoken. That's honor and dignity. Listen to this. Let me deal with something here. How also this will help us in this restoration. Remember in Psalm 119 verse 19, sorry, 103 verse 19, it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom does what? Rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. So I want you to establish some things here. Very important. Last Friday while we were praying, I was kneeling in front of here, right here at the front, and then I heard this. I had this. Idolatry in the church. Idolatry. And then I'll ask you a question. What is it in your life that you have magnified above the kingdom of God? What is it in your life that you have magnified above the kingdom of God? What is it in your life, or a person, or a thing, or words that you have magnified above the word of the kingdom? That's idolatry. That's idolatry. I'll show you here a little bit. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34, very familiar scripture. Matthew 6, 31 to 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, well, those Gentiles, they do not know the kingdom. They don't operate in the principles of the kingdom or based on the principles of the kingdom. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And then listen to this. But seek first, you can highlight that first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Priority is the kingdom. And then therefore he says this. Then he says this. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So listen to this. A person in functioning by the kingdom of God, first, they seek the kingdom of God, definitely. Very important thing, they have submitted their lives fully to the Lord. They no longer accept worry and cares of this life to torment them. Those of us in ministry, in full-time ministry, will tell you, you live that way. I think it was so difficult the first years when Tina and I got married. So she says, what are you thinking? I say, nothing. What do you mean, nothing? You ought to be thinking, nothing, honey. I already prayed and I believe God this is going to manifest. But after praying, are you not supposed to be doing something? Not worrying. That I'm doing something, I'm not worrying. This is where people go off. But after you have prayed, are you not supposed to be doing something? Yes, I'm doing something. I'm not worrying. I'm free. Tina and I have been married. This is coming to our 21st year. And we can say over and over again, we've seen God do this. I can testify concerning this ministry over and over again. Welcome to the kingdom. Welcome to function according to the word of the kingdom. You cannot allow worry. Or we are worried about dollar rate. What do you mean by that? Why don't you stick your head in the kingdom? Oh, our shilling has been dwindling. It's a fact. But what are you supposed to do? So if it's dwindling, yes, then you have not been appointed to be in treasury. What are you going to do? All the appointments have been taken. We are in power now. Okay. Now let me not get political here. Listen to Matthew 6, 12-13, the Message translation. When the disciples were sent to preach the gospel, the Message translation says this, then they were on the road. They preached with joyful urgency. They preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Oh, you really shouted. My goodness, did you hear that, Yvonne? They shouted, they jumped. Hallelujah. I didn't know, Mike, you can shout this much. Praise God, you did so good. Listen, they say this, they preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Right and left, they sent the demons packing. They brought wellness to the sick, anointing their bodies, healing their spirits. Hallelujah! Life can be radically different when the word of the kingdom has been received. Hallelujah! Life can be radically different. The kingdom of God will radically change your life. Now I'm going to give you a word that will make you shout big. It will inconvenience you. Oh, that you shouted. Oh my goodness, that you got excited about that. It will inconvenience you. The kingdom of God will inconvenience you. Ask any believer who's walking with God and that you can see fruit of the kingdom in their lives. They will tell you that there are things that are acceptable to others but no longer mean anything to them. The things that are acceptable, but they no longer mean anything. They mean nothing to me. Oh, don't you come over? No, I can't. Why is that so? I am of the kingdom. I have things to do. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, that all things are profitable to me. All things are what? Acceptable, permissible, but not all things are profitable to me. Say, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You realize that you choose to be free. Can I tell you something? There are meetings you don't attend because you're engaged. Let me give you another one in Kenya. Kenyans, majority of them, want to attend every funeral. I've ever been to that village. What were you doing? We went for a funeral. No problem with a funeral. You understand? But you better ask the Lord. I had a certain gentleman from my home area last year, much younger than I, doing well. I think he was in his late 30s, doing well, young family. They went for a funeral. somewhere in, you know, in Central. And in coming back, he was the one driving, had an accident, and he died on the spot. I cried inside of me concerning that young man. Faktina and I were 2 minutes to his wife. We were not close, but I had to reach out to the wife. I said, we must minister to this family. What about if we ask God for in everything we do? Listen to this. It will stop the devil even from premature death. You better be listening to the voice of the shepherd. It will stop the devil from even attempting to give you premature death. The word of the kingdom, listening to him, is critical. Listen this. So when you ask any believers who walk in God, they'll tell you that the word of God has inconvenienced them. There are things that are no longer profitable to them. They chose to pay the price so that they may function in the kingdom. They chose that, to pay the price. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, the Amplified Version says this. Listen to the testimony of Apostle Paul. But whatever former things were gains to me, as I thought then, these things once regarded as advancements in merit. Anyone wants advancements in merit? Just few of you? I thought you want to advance. Don't you want to advance? Oh yeah, I want that. But listen to this. He says, they are regarded as advancements in merit. I have come to consider as loss. Absolutely worthless. For the sake of Christ and the purpose for which he has given me. Purpose of God is over any achievement that you'll ever have. So then you have to know the purpose. Because that high place is realized by those who are walking in God's purposes. It's for everyone, but not everyone walks in it. What do you call achievement? In Kenya, achievement, mostly, to many, is how many plots you have. I get surprised, you know, like someone called me and said, to go buy a land somewhere in the Bundus. Why? Developments will come. God didn't tell me that. You want to buy the whole Kenya? Crazy about land. So, Pastor, don't you buy land? Unless the Lord instructs me. Seriously. I'll listen to the Lord. And that comes sweatless. But if you follow this circle number, and you see the advertisement, you're watching a little bit of a program on YouTube, and it comes, here we come, land from Kayeleko Kolote Kua. Even you don't know the place. The titles are out. Title deeds are out. Where is Kamuyoko Kaleke Kuyeta? You don't know. But you say, I want that one. Let me send that M-Pesa line. That's craziness. That's madness. Oh, we want prosperity. God's way. Listen to him. You don't have to go Kamuyoko to get it. He can tell you this area is your place. Don't go far. Oh, I spoke something. I'm dealing with idolatry. I'm dealing with those idols that have been lifted up above the kingdom. All right. Let me finish up. Oh, not now, though. Listen to Message translation of Philippians 3:7. Listen to the same scripture. Oh, it's lengthy, but listen. Just pay attention. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash. Isn't that exciting, you? Oh, hallelujah. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. compared to the high, did you see that? To what? The high privilege. That's what? Dignity, honor. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master, firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. What does he say? Dog dung. Now, I didn't say that. That's Message translation. Dog poop. Wow, wow, wow. Poop. I didn't say that. I didn't write that Message translation. And you know the way it smells. It's not pleasant. There's a pastor, you need to have some good manners. That's exactly good manners of the Bible. It's the one who says dog poop, dog dung. Listen to this. I have dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ. God's righteousness. Hallelujah. Oh, the kingdom of God will inconvenience you. You hear people, I cannot fast. I cannot pray because I don't pray much, because that's why I don't come even for prayer meetings. You know, I don't pray much. That's convenience. I'm going to show you what that idolatry does. You know what I've expected during prayer and fasting? Let me be clear with you. Do you know what I've expected during this prayer and fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays? That as many as you can, many, 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 you do everything to be here. But few have been. That tells me something. How you are positioned in the kingdom. That your priorities are not in the right place. Oh, but you know, but hey, what is believing God? What is believing God? If traffic will beat you down, when will you go to? When will you be believing God? How many times have we driven and say, we're believing God for this breakthrough? Angels move in the spirit when people are aggressive. And they shift things around for you. Have you ever seen the president being stuck on traffic jam? I'm asking you, have you ever seen the president being stuck on traffic jam? Why is that so? He has people who makes a way for him. His kingdom rules over all. The people of the kingdom believe. I'm not pastoring Sunday worshipers. I want people of the kingdom. I want people who are engaged. And when I say this, God wants, not just me wanting, God wants people who are engaged. God wants whose kingdom is priority. If you tell me from January to December, you can't come even for one meeting, midweek prayer meetings, then there's something wrong with you. Then there's a big God called idol in your life. You say, Pastor, you're going to talk to us this way? Yes. Because the Spirit of God is stirring up some things in my life. And compromise is not going to break any barrier. Wake up. Wake up. I say, wake up. Shake off those demons that will keep you from breaking barriers. Oh, I can't pray much. My doctor told me not to pray much. Does your doctor know how to pray? Whose word are you following? Pastor Wade used to say, you can as well say, I love you, Pastor. Only Martin, yeah, I love you, brother. Thank you. Wake up.
wake up. The Bible says, awake, O sleeper. Awake, O sleeper. Wake up. If you walked with Jesus, he said, you brood of vipers. So this I've told you is nothing. You serpents. I've told you nothing. I've just chastised you to wake up and to stop any kind of idolatry. Let me show you something here, church. What that idolatry does. The devil will present to you a different gospel of convenience. We can only fast social media. Jesus didn't fast social media. The definition of fast is food. We've modernized things. I can only fast Facebook. You can as well go in with it. So you fast Facebook, but you eat 3 square meals per day. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Are you preaching with me, Susan? Now look at this, a different gospel. Galatians 1, 6, 9. Elders, if you can come around me during after the service. Okay? And security. And angels around me anyway. Now look at this. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Continue, please. Or do I say like that, Mama? Continue. Which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. How much have you seen that? That's why God is restoring dignity and honor in the church. How much have you seen that? That preachers swindling people's money. I was told of some preachers that vowed they'll never come back to Kenya. Because much money was taken from them. By some hooligans somewhere, no, by the so-called, even the clergy. That's horrible. That's why your area of influence, you must live as a person of the kingdom. Don't say it's because the pastors are the ones who are keeping the standards. Our standard of holiness is heaven. Not a human being. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Dignity. The gospel of Jesus. The kingdom of God will inconvenience you. Young people, the kingdom of God will inconvenience you. You will talk differently. You'll think differently. There are things that they are doing. You'll never be involved. You'll never be involved. They will tell you are old-fashioned. Stay with him. He'll promote you. Luke 16, 18, from the 16:16, the Amplified Version. The law and the writings of the prophets are proclaimed until John. Since then, the gospel of the kingdom has been and continues to be preached, and everyone tries forcefully to go into it. You see, the people who don't want to be convenienced, they won't go into it. They can't. What time do you pray? When eating. What do you pray when we are eating food? That's not prayer. You're supposed to bless the food, not pray for it. It's not sick. I believe again, the time we are in, God is restoring what? Dignity, honor, power, and glory of his church. It has been ridiculed, but he has the last say in all this, and nothing shall stop his will from happening. Nothing. Mark my words, nothing will stop his will from being fulfilled in our generation. So I want you to rise up as a person of the kingdom. I want you to start thinking as a person of the kingdom. I want you to prioritize the word of God. Repent of idolatry. Therefore, sisters and brothers, brethren and sisters, the dignified people, align your life with the kingdom as we come to the last week of this Daniel fast. Align your life with the kingdom. Align your life with the kingdom. Repent of idolatry in your own life. Anything that you've exalted or any person above the kingdom. Things that you have valued more than the kingdom of God, I want you to repent of them. Repentance is our deliverance. Repentance opens door for the glory of God. As we wind up, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, 5 to 10. So the point here is what? Repent from what? Are you answering me today? Repent from what? Idolatry. Let's go this scripture step by step. In fact, stand up now. I've been sitting for long now. As we read this scripture, stand up. Go ahead and stretch, that's fine. You are a spirit being, you have a soul and live in a body. Stretch that body. Your spirit is already stretched out. Stretch it. That's fine. At least you can say, hallelujah. 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 That's a stretching strategy. Now look at this then. So put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body. With his sensual, self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desire, and greed, which is a kind of what? What does it do? Because it replaces your devotion to God. Well, let's go back again. So put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body with essential self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desire, and greed, which is what? Let's read it together. Which is a kind of idolatry because it replaces your devotion to God. Let's go to the next one, please. Because of these sinful things, the divine wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. Those who fail to listen and do routinely and obstinately disregard God's precepts. And in these sinful things, you also once walked when you are habitually living in them without the knowledge of Christ. You see what ignorance does? So now that you have the word of God, you shouldn't live that way. And then he says this, but now rid yourself. You know, like when you go to the house and if you are wearing a blazer, say, rid of this jacket. It's heavy on me. Rid yourselves completely of all these things. Anger. Anyone who's had to deal with anger? You all are lying in church and you are fasting. You've never had to deal with anger?
I have anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene, abusive, filthy, vulgar language from your mouth. Some believers, I remember certain lady years ago, some few years ago actually, I called her and we are talking and, you know, grew up with her. She used a certain word in the phone, on the phone. And I think we were in the compound together. Remember that, Norman? And then someone was talking to, I think I saw you come, Deacon Norman. And then I hung up and we started talking. And the Lord said this, you need to correct this. What language is that? Did I tell you? I said, let me correct this. I called. I said, let me tell you something. Why would you use such a filthy language in my hearing? It was quiet just the way you've kept quiet. Your mouth ought to be washed. There are words that should never come out of your mouth. And you're a TikToker. You TikTokers. And all those things that sometimes that you hear people have put words. He says, remove that. Let's go to the next one. Do not lie to one another. Ouch. Now that's much in the church. Lying. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices. Really, I don't take pride in it. But as I was growing up as a teenager, I was taught how to lie. I would lie until when I met with someone, I'll forget what I told them last time. So they must talk so that I can hear what they are saying. And then I say, oh, I get the meter. This is what I told them last time. So then after that day, when I gave my life to Christ, oh my goodness, I felt like God burnt my mouth with fire. Uko wapi niko pangani na uko Ruiru. Uko hapa tu nakuja wapi. I've told people that don't make a mistake of telling me niko hapa hapa nakuja. I'll ask you where. Don't tell me you'll dupe me with that saying I'm just here. Listen. And now this is what you're supposed to do. And I've put on the new spiritual self who's been continually renewed in what? True knowledge. Do you know what that is? The word of the kingdom. True knowledge in the image of him who created the new self. Church, it's our privilege to be renewed. Listen to this. It's a privilege of the kingdom of God for us to take that high place in Christ of authority. These are enemies of ascended place in Christ. Hallelujah. So I give this opportunity over here. I want us to take some time. Just, I want you to open your heart to the Lord in repentance. The word of God is living, is active. He's spoken to you. Will you lift up your hands and just talk to him, please? Just lift up your hands. Let me pray and then I'll turn it over to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know you've given me this word to minister to your people and to minister to us. And Father, we humble ourselves before you. We ask you to forgive us for every work of the flesh. Every work of the flesh, every form of idolatry, everything that grieves your heart, idolatry, sins of the flesh, everything that we have exalted above your kingdom. Father, I'm asking you for your mercy. Every work of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness,
lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which you told us beforehand, just as you told us in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, Father, we confess of our sins. I'm asking you, Father, for your holy fire to purify us, to cleanse us, to burn every form of addictions, every form of addiction, every evil practice, every demonic stronghold, every power of darkness, every sorcery and witchcraft, anything that does not represent the kingdom of God. Father, may your fire burn, consume, in the name of Jesus. Father, we open our hearts to you in drawing upon your mercy, in drawing upon the blood, in the cleansing of our lives. Do the work right now. And I'm asking you right now, go ahead now. Do your part. You know your life. You know the way you've been living. You know the things that you have exalted above the kingdom of God. Just lift up your voice and talk to him. Just go ahead and talk to him. Shembrom resteke steke yandamanda. Lord, do your work. Do your work. The change, the deliverance from chains of the enemy. In true repentance and humility before you, Father. Shombrem brendem ingreste de ke stengereshe de bakrose de. Sombrom brendem ingeste de ke stakasha. For this is not to condemn you. And this is not to put guilt on you. And this is not to put shame on you. This is for your freedom. This is for your freedom. This is that you may be lifted up from that place of shame, from that place of guilt, from that place of condemnation. God is not a condemner. No, God has made available for us the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all kind of unrighteousness. Show bremande steke steke reshe de bakadaba. Enginginda mandarasa da bakore shte mande reste de kesada. Gengese restanda randembro mange steke stara da bakoshe de bakasede. Sombrembre ndenge sere de bakroshe de branda mangese de bande reste de kastayada. Glosh and amande steke and amandas. Sengeya na mandora, stemendere ne manda, stobore de bakasiresh de bakadiba, stombrembre mangi stenge stekeresh de mangros de bakasedem. Now lift up your voice to him. Shembrende mengre de baka. Let the cleansing power, let the cleansing power, let the power of God come upon you and deliver you. Let the power of God, like a wind coming over you and removing everything that is not of his temple. Let the glory of God come upon you and remove every kind of addiction and every kind of powers of darkness. Mangeda, 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 mangeda badoreshi de bandaya. Mandeda, mangereshi de bakandia sedeke stara da bakori de basada yandema. Sembremberende mangeste de kestaya. Young people, the Lord is touching your life. The Lord is delivering you from every form of addiction. Mangesha, da mangereshi de bakasede. Lom blaste, sengianda, stangalande, manglos, nemangela, stenengela, stedebako, o colere de mangreste de bacro, she demanda, gandemanda, gandemanda, ahe de besere de bacasa. Now that's the lifting up. As you repent, you have been lifted up to that place of authority, lifted up to high and holy place, lifted up to that high and holy place in Christ Jesus. Moshera ni mangere steke sereda mandase reste mandaya. Gemandore stebeke sadakasha. Glory to your name, Father. Father, thank you. I know you've begun this work. And I trust your word, you're faithful to complete it. So, Father, thank you for the work of your Spirit. The people that you, as you repented, this you've had for a long time. You've had, do they call it hyperacidity? Is that the right word? Yeah, hyperacidity. That is being healed right now, and everything is coming into balance for a long time. That actually has been called by anger in your life. I sense that truly, that anger in your life. Repent of that anger, rage, and God is restoring that whole digestive system is being balanced now by the power of God. Thank you, Father. There's someone that you've had a skin condition, rashes all over your body, and it's being off and on. As you repent this, I see something there. You've been washed clean from that by the precious blood of Jesus and the mercy of God. You are healed from that skin condition. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every spirit attached to these habits. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I release God's power and God's deliverance. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you have that prayer and fasting guide, please, in this week? Now we're praying the last one. I really want you to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your heart during this time. It's the last leg I told you, that idolatry, go back into the Word of God. So this week we'll be praying for Kenya. I thought at some time now we can move out of this area and pray for Kenya and for Israel and for Kenya. Can we pray it out together? Now, some of you don't have prayer and fasting, so I'm going to follow the screen. If you can, we can go in a good pace, okay? Let's pray this before the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Jews and the nation of Kenya. We desire to see a great awakening to you in all the nations of the world. We believe you for the multitudes, millions and millions of souls to be swept into your kingdom. All of us in Living Faith International and Victory Faith Church want to be part of this great move through our prayers, faith, labor, and giving. We ask you to help believers in Christ in every nation to rise up and glorify your name. May we in Victory Faith Church be at the forefront of a great move of God in Kenya. We ask you to position our nation in the ancient paths that you have for her. We pray for righteous choices in our president's decisions and all those in authority because of the destiny of our nation. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the Prime Minister, the IDF, and all Jewish people all over the world, for the opening of their eyes, ears, and hearts to know their God of Abraham through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you to turn for their good the attack that took place in October last year. May Yeshua, your Son, be greatly revealed in the Middle East in the midst of all the chaos. For of you and through you and to you are all things. To you be glory forever and ever. Amen.